Lord is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. May God's mercy and peace be today with you today from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christopher Columbus, once, many years ago, stood on a beach just like this one, staring out at the sea, wondering what was out there for him in the great beyond. The year was 1492, his ship was ready to sail, and in a short time he would leave. What would he find out there in the great unknown beyond the horizon? At that time, the motto of the country of Spain was ne plus ultra, which means no more beyond. In other words, the people believed that they lived at the end of the world, at the edge of the great sea, and that there was no more beyond them, nothing beyond what they knew but vast tracts of ocean water and certain death. And if Columbus went out there, he would perish forever, be lost at sea, never to be seen again. My friends, I think today we're a lot like Christopher Columbus, for we also stand on the beach of this world, staring out at the horizon, wondering, what is out there for me beyond the horizon, beyond this life, beyond this world, after I die? Is there nothing more beyond? Is this life all there is? Are there only vast tracts of ocean water we call death, deep and dark, waiting for me? Will I perish forever, never to be seen again when I die? Or is there a new land out there for me beyond the horizon, a land I may call my home, a land beyond the sea, life beyond death? That's the question I'd like to talk with you about this morning. And it becomes all the more pressing and urgent to us because we realize that we, like Columbus, have a ship waiting for us just offshore, ready to sail, to take us, for all we'll all one day die. Are you ready to die? Are you uncertain? Are you afraid, not sure of what lies in the great beyond for you? If so, I have good news to share with you today. God comes to speak to us this morning about these very things and to give us a word of certainty, of confidence, and of salvation in Christ. So without further ado, let's listen and hear what God would speak to us this morning about death and our fear of it and what lies beyond the horizon for us. What does he say? The first thing God says to us is, you must be ready. You must be ready to die. For no one knows the day or the hour when he must go. In James chapter 4, James says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and get gain, whereas you do not know about tomorrow. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Think about that for a second. You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Not very long. And in fact, in Psalm 90, verse 10, we read the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Have you considered your death? Have you faced it? Are you ready? Are you afraid? Woody Allen once said, I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens. Maybe you feel like that. But you will. You will be there. We just celebrated our 60th Easter sunrise service. How many were at the original first Easter sunrise service on the beach? All right, we got two. Boy, you're old. No, sorry. I want you to raise your hands right now. How many are expecting to be there 60 years from now at the Easter sunrise service in the morning? How many think you'll live that long? All right, you're under a delusion. I'm going to break that bubble right now. most, if not all of us, except for perhaps some young, will not make it to that service, could not make it to that service, because our ship will have sailed, will have died. I want you to face death today. For David says to God, you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Do you believe that your days are numbered? O Columbus, there lies your ship, just offshore, ready to take you. Can't you see it? There gloom the dark, broad seas. The vessel puffs her sails, waiting for you. You must be ready, for none of us knows the day or the hour. It could be next year, it could be this year, this month, this week, this day, for all you know. Why not prepare now for death, while there's still time to prepare? Therefore, God says to you today, you do not know your day or your hour when I will call. And when I call, you must go. If then you must face death for real one day, why not face it today, says the Lord? Why not face it with me? The second thing God says to us this morning, he says, you can know for certain what awaits you out there. I can tell you. And Pastor Greg can tell you. Listen to him. But you say, how can Pastor Greg know? He's just a man. Or, for that matter, how can any man know what lies for us out there in the great beyond, beyond the horizon? Shakespeare said, death is that undiscovered country from whose bourne no traveler e'er returns. Are we not all inlanders speculating from the beach about things that we know not, what lies beyond the sea's edge when we talk about death? True, there are many different views of death in the world, and everyone has his opinion of them. If you're a Muslim, you believe that beyond the horizon awaits you judgment. Your good deeds are weighed against your bad. You have to walk across a tightrope, the diameter of a hair. If your good outweighs your bad, maybe, just perchance, you might be saved. Muhammad himself said he wasn't sure of his salvation. Will you fall? Who knows whether he will escape the abyss if you're a Muslim? If you're a Hindu, you believe that beyond the sea's edge, out there awaits reincarnation. And you believe in karma. If your good outweighs your bad, maybe you'll come back as a prince. Or if your bad outweighs your good, maybe it's an ant or some other creature or a lowlife or a poor person. If you're a New Ager, you believe that beyond the horizon are new levels of consciousness. If you're an atheist, you believe you cease to exist. There's only a thick jet black darkness for you, nothing and perishing. If you've never faced death, the question of it in your life, as most people in the world tend to deny it, such people say foolishly things like, well, I hope to go to a, quote, better place, maybe. But there's no certainty, only the prospect of doom. Yes, these are all inlanders speculating about from the beach, tourists, beachcombers, speaking ignorantly of things that they know not. For Shakespeare said, death is that undiscovered country from whose bourne no traveler e'er returns. If you haven't been there, how can you know for certain? The answer is, you can't. But now I declare to you, that undiscovered country that was once undiscovered and is for all the rest is no longer the undiscovered country. It's the undiscovered country no more. It's been discovered. And there's one who's been there and been back and raised from the dead. Christopher Columbus himself was gone many days, assumed perished, lost at sea, gone forever. But he came back and reported, it is a good land that I saw. And look, see, here I've brought you some of the fruits of that land to prove that you may believe that I tell you the truth. My friends, I tell you the truth. Christ Jesus has been there to that undiscovered country and come back again, and he proves its existence. In 1 Corinthians 15, Scripture says, Paul says, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, then to the 12. He died and arose again. He's been across the sea of death to that undiscovered country, and he's returned. In fact, that undiscovered country we speak of beyond the sea is his home, and he is the king of that land. He originally came from there, from heaven, and he came to seek us. He was born a man, a boy child. He grew up. He lived among us. He died for our sins. He rose again from the dead, really, truly, and returned and came back to life bodily on the third day. And this really happened in history. And now he has gone back across the sea to prepare a room for us in his Father's house, that he may take us there, that where he is, we may be also. He knows, and he proves it. And just like Columbus, when he came back bringing the fruits of the land, so Christ has brought us fruits from that distant land to prove to us. In Ephesians chapter 1, we read, we've been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. That word guarantee means down payment. It's proof that there's a land out there beyond, when the day you die, there is a land beyond that sea. A land, a good land flowing with milk and honey. Moreover, he's not left you only with this, as if the Holy Spirit's not enough. But he's also provided witnesses. He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the brethren, apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, says Paul. We have ample witnesses, and I testify to today as well. The great Billy Graham, it was once asked him, how do you know that this Jesus of yours is alive? And Jesus answered, and Billy Graham answered, well, I just spoke with him this morning. I testify he's alive. And I give more proof. The Old Testament scriptures were fulfilled. It was prophesied ahead of time he'd be born in Bethlehem, that he'd give sight to the blind, ride into Jerusalem on a donkey as king, be sold for 30 pieces of silver, bear our sins, be raised, bring to us salvation that we may believe and not perish, but have eternal life. This was foretold ahead of time for you, that when it comes to pass, you may believe. And the very fact that he rose again, something no one has ever done before or could do, is evidence that he tells to us the truth. And he says to you right now, there is a good land out there, across the sea, across death, a good land, very good, flowing with milk and honey. And there I am king, where justice and eternal life rule forever. But, he cautions us, it's very far away. It's many miles hence, many leagues distant. It's not easy to get there. How do you do it? Well, obviously, if you're going to cross a great sea, what do you need? You need a boat. And so the different religions of the world, if you can picture it this way, are offering you different boats. For Islam, their boat is called Muhammad. For the Hindus, their boat is called Karma. For the New Agers, their boat is called Meditation. And for most people along the shores of this world, their boat is called Works, namely good works. You've heard people say this. What's your hope of going to heaven? Oh, because I've been a pretty decent guy in my life. I've done some good things, some bad, but mostly good. If you're going to undertake such a journey as this, as to cross the sea of death, wouldn't you think you'd inspect your boat before undertaking such a journey? I tell you, all these have holes, they're rotten wood, and no provisions aboard. For it's written in Galatians 2, by works of the law shall no man be justified. Again, by works of the law shall no man be justified before God. If you think you can get there today by your good deeds, I'll have a challenge for you. Stand up right now, strip down your clothes, and become naked. And then go over to the beach and spring into the sea and swim east until you make landfall. And when you get there, give me a call to make sure that you got there safely. Naked you came into this world. Naked you're going to go out of this world. You have more hope. Let me say it again. You have more hope of swimming across this sea naked to England, albeit it's 4,000 miles distant from here. You have more hope of swimming to England from Florida than you have of crossing the sea of death and surviving without Christ. Death is a deep and a broad and a wide sea, much further than it is from here to England. Death is the result of sin. See, the sea is that great gulf between man and God. Jesus said to the Jews in John 8, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. Then they questioned, will he kill himself since he says where I'm going? We cannot come? We don't understand. Jesus says again, you are from below, I am from above. In other words, you are from this beach, this world, I'm from the land distant across the sea. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for you will die in your sins, unless you believe that I am he. Jonah sinned, and his words from the belly of the great fish were recorded for us. He said, you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. The flood swept over me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I'm driven from your sight. How shall I again look upon your holy temple? The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. This is a picture of what it is to cross that sea without Christ. It's no joke either. I tell you the solemn truth, and you should receive this solemnly. Death, an eternal death, hell, is the end result of sin. A terrifying sea, and not to be trifled with. But I also have some good news for you today. Friends, Christ came to save us. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins. Think about that. For our sins, that he might forgive us, that he might take our sins away, the things that which would sink us in that sea. In accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, in accordance with the scriptures. Do you know what that means? It means God's plan from of old has been to save us. Jesus was destined from the foundation of the world to be our great deliverer. Like Noah, when the world was doomed to drown, God saved all those who were on the ark. So Christ has prepared for us a boat, built a goodly ship of the wood of his cross and resurrection. For it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Upon him he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus suffered death, the punishment we deserve for our sins, that he might swallow up the sea of death for everyone. He built our boat with frames and planks from the wood of his cross, a perfect salvation. For God so loved the world, loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Not perish, not be lost at sea forever, not go down to the depths and have the billows close over you, but might have eternal life forever. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, says the Lord. Moses parted the Red Sea, and the people crossed on dry ground, on dry earth, by faith. So Christ does for us. All the other religions of the world are rocks to sink you. Christ is a rock to stand on. And he overcame the sea for us. This morning's Easter sunrise service I love. I get there in the morning. Out there are the dark night sky, and the deep is so briny and wine dark and ominous. Then, as we begin the service, the sun rises and it breaks over the horizon and brings day, and suddenly the dark sea turns to diamonds. My friends, such is death to the Christian, a sun-sparkling, sunlit way. And the one who is with us says to the sea of death, "Peace, be still." And there is a great calm. Oh, afflicted one, storm-tossed, and not comforted, "Behold, I'll set your stones in antimony and lay your foundations with sapphires," says the Lord God. In Spain to this day, there's a city that has a statue commemorating Columbus's great triumph. There's a lion destroying one of the Latin words that used to be Spain's motto for centuries. Their motto read, "No more beyond." The lion destroys one of the words, so now it reads, "More beyond." More beyond. There's a land out there beyond the horizon for us. And Christ says to you, "Come, and I'll take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also," to a good land, destined, prepared for you from the foundation of the world, a country in which righteousness dwells. No more fear. We can live as Christians in this life without the fear of death. The Bible knows nothing of the uncertainty of the vain speculations of the world. When you hear people talk about death in the world, it's always, "I think, I feel, I hope." Whereas God says, no, this is, should be your word, "I know, I'm sure, I'm certain." Because death is conquered, we are free. Christ has won the victory. And he loves us. One final question then. Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? And that's the question I'd like to ask you this morning. Do you believe this? I know that you do, so that you may be certain in all these things. But also, if you've never repented or believed in Christ, be ready today. Be ready now. See the ship lying there just offshore, puffing her sails. There gloom the dark, broad seas, ready to take you. Hear the bosun's whistle on that ship as of a silver trumpet calling to you, "All aboard!" See our Lord calling to you, "Come, repent and believe, and I will save you." So be certain today and always. Be courageous, be strong, for the Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.